afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
They ain't teaching taxes in school. It don't even matter, I was acting a fool. But who would think the raps would turn into racks? Don't matter.
All right, welcome back, Chad, Kevin. I know, this is not the usual voice you hear to introduce Chad and Kevin, but they're on their way here to the studio. We've had some technical issues here, but everybody's stepping up to do a damn good job. My man Trey is here. He's twisting and tweaking the dials, but also he's going to help me drive this thing to my man Chad and Kevin get back here. Trey, what's the deal, brother? How you doing?
Doing all right, Rod. It was on these airwaves about 2 hours ago now, and it's good to have you in studio as the fill-in for the guys. I can't think of anybody else who would do as good of a job. And this pairing right now reminds me of a scene from the movie Super Troopers. I assume you've seen that one before,
I've seen,
right?
Super Troopers, yeah.
And I don't necessarily want to call myself the latter part of this because you are the Rod part of things, but it's like a car Ramrod. We're car Trey Rod right now.
I like that, yeah. Is there a Super Troopers part two?
There is, and I've heard very mixed things about
it.
I know some people who love it, and some people are like, oh, it just flat out sucks.
I saw that randomly, and I didn't even know there was a Super Troopers part two. But yeah, there you go. Yeah, but you know what? It's hard to recreate a great comedy classic, man. It's tough. You can't do it.
You're right about that, but we talked to one of the guys from the Super Troopers comedy troupe, Broken Lizard, and he said that they went through like 30 to 50 scripts before finally deciding that they had one that was actually worth going with the sequel. So from that regard, I will watch that movie at some point. Now, as BK says, I will probably need to be on some performance-enhancing drugs to fully enjoy the movie, but it will happen at some point.
Amen to that. Yeah, I think no matter how hard you try, it's just tough. Really hard. What's the last great comedy to have a sequel that was better than the original?
Better than the original? That's a great question. I know one.
Or even
that,
as good as the original.
One that people actually liked quite a bit, and I wasn't as big on this one, but my wife and a lot of her friends ended up enjoying Pitch Perfect 2 as much as they did 1. Now, I like Pitch Perfect 1. I'm not embarrassed to admit that.
Great.
Pitch Perfect 2 lost me, though.
No, Pitch Perfect 1 actually is pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I saw that one. So take my man card if you want to. Pitch Perfect 2, I did watch some of it. I didn't watch all of it.
So I'm with you on that one. Magic Mike is another one of those movies that and again, it was more the female thing. The females loved part two because they brought a lot of the hot dudes back, and it did have some funny moments as well.
I thought my man card was in jeopardy because I wear secret deodorant. Turns out you saw Magic Mike 2 and Pitch Perfect 2.
Oh, I only watched parts of that one as well. They lost me on that one. I think they gear the sequels more towards one gender or the other after the first one.
I mean, Matthew McConaughey, let's be honest, I'll probably see anything with Matthew McConaughey in it. It's kind of a Longhorn thing. I mean, whatever. You know, the Matthew McConaughey mojo, it rubbed off on the Longhorns versus USC. So more Matthew McConaughey on the sideline. We need the McConaissance. I just saw a Matthew McConaughey movie. Ooh.
Rick?
I just saw White Boy Rick. Can I just say this about White Boy Rick?
Did you actually see the movie or just the preview?
No, I went to go see it.
How was it?
It's one of those movies that didn't need to be made.
Huh.
Matthew McConaughey's awesome. He's fantastic. But that movie didn't need to be made.
Okay.
It didn't need, and it's based on a true story, and at the end, you start learning, like, some, you know, the real, true kind of life story and some of the details, and it is compelling, but that movie did not need to be made. And it's not what you think it's going to be. I'll tell you that right now. It's not what you think it's going to be.
The trailer advertises that there's some sort of twist or turn at the end that will leave you shocked.
It's one of those, you know how the trailer sucks you in sometimes, and you get sucked in by the trailer. You go see a movie based on how cool the trailer was.
Yeah.
Remember the last King Kong movie that came out?
Yeah.
I went to go see it like an idiot because the trailer was so cool. I was like, man, that movie's going to be really good. Turns out, like, no, the movie sucked. Like, you thought it would suck. But the trailer sucked me in. That's what Right Boy Rick does. The trailer sucks you in. Matthew's great, but the rest of it is underwhelming. Didn't need to be made.
Look, it was cool to see Matthew on the sidelines on Saturday as part of the USC mojo, since that's, you know, where he was back in early 2006 to help recruit the Longhorns onto victory. Was shocked to see Matthew McConaughey trying to bring the single stud earring in the left earlobe back.
I missed that.
Yeah.
Really?
He's rocking it.
He's rocking it?
Yes.
Hardcore.
Straight 90s style.
You know what, man? I give him props for that. That's like when Shane tried to pull off the porn stash. Remember game one?
Yeah.
The Maryland game? They got the video that's the picture of Shane Beshear with the stash, and the next game he cuts it off. And I'm like, no, Shane, wear the porn stash. I want to see Shane with the stash. I bet he's a better quarterback with the stash than without.
That was a little too Speedway Strangler for my liking.
Speedway Strangler. Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Matthew McConaughey can rock damn near anything, though. When you're Matthew, you can rock old trends and bring them back and stuff like that. Because I'll just say this real quick, so we'll talk about Matthew. My girlfriend has cousins that play like flag football out at I-9 at Westlake. And Matthew's, he's got kids that play out there too, because every now and then he's out there. You would not believe how often she'll wake up early in the morning just to go to a Westlake, like a little kid's I-9 flag football game with the prospect that she may see Matthew McConaughey walking around there, no deodorant on, smelling like masculinity. You know what I mean?
I don't falter for that.
I don't either, because I actually, when they told me, they were like, Matthew's over there. I was like, where is he at? And I went over there to look at him, too. You just want to get a look at Matthew. It's something about Matthew McConaughey. All right, anyway, enough about Matthew. Let's talk Texas football. We'll talk about Texas and Texas and TCU, also reflecting still on that Texas-USC game. How about this, though, Trey? I don't know if you guys talked about it on BK and Trey, but Tom Herman reportedly had pleaded with the team to put USC behind them. Like, pleaded with, like don't forget. Like, even yesterday, like, hey, we're done with it. Like, forget about it. Even the good plays you made, the bad, we got to be done with it right now. The purple kryptonite is ahead. We cannot afford for our attention to be divided in the slightest, because we're facing one of the better teams in the country who, by the way, has been whipping Texas ever since they got to the Big 12.
That's great to hear, because this program has had an issue the last 7 to 8 years now of letting a single moment dictate what happens for the next 3 to 4 weeks after that.
Yep.
It happened with the Notre Dame game a couple years ago, Charlie's final year here, and it has happened throughout this time at Texas football ever since that national championship game in early 2010. So I'm glad to hear the head coach saying, look, you guys need to get that game out of your head. You can't dwell on your wins and losses far too much, but especially this week, because the competition improves greatly. I know USC has the luster. Texas-USC has that magical luster going back to the national championship game from the early part of the last decade. TCU is light years better than what USC was on Saturday.
Well, to me, it's Gary Patterson. I challenged the audience to this, and I challenged actually my friend Jeff Howe. We did the Longhorn Blitz podcast, which, by the way, will be right here on these airwaves at 104.9 at 7 p.m. today with my man Matt Butler and Jeff Howe of Horns 24/7. But I said, name me four better coaches in college football than Gary Patterson. I got two. You name, could I get
Saban and Urban?
Those are the two I got.
Yeah, I mean, there are guys on that level.
Chris Peterson, David Shaw, there are guys on that level. Yeah, but I said better. Name me two that are better.
Yeah, because I wouldn't say Dabo is better than Gary Patterson. A lot of it has to do, Rod, with the as good as identifying talent for their system as anybody in the country, but they also do a great job of developing it. And as Tom Herman talked about yesterday, what was the quote that he gave? That Gary Patterson is going to scout you until his eyes fall out of his head.
Yeah, that was a good quote.
That's true. They look for little things that they can absolutely exploit. It was why it was such a bad matchup with Charlie Strong, who's not the most detail-oriented guy.
Agreed.
They found too many little things on film and blew the doors off the Longhorns in those years. And I guarantee you this much, after watching Texas football for the first 3 weeks of the season, they are going after the slot position. Assuming Texas is in a lot of nickel on Saturday, which I imagine they will be, they're going after P.J. Locke and Josh Thompson, because both those guys have shown a knack for letting coverages bust in the back end at times.
Yeah, I always wonder if, he may change some things around, because you know B.J. Foster won't be there for the first half of that game because of the targeting. So I assume maybe P.J. Nickel would move to the safety position. And then I wonder, maybe you'd put a guy like either Caden Stearns or Brandon Jones at the, you know, at the Joker, or maybe I'll put Caden Stearns at the nickel. And I'd put Caden Stearns at any position, and at secondary, at corner included.
Yep.
And I would have full confidence in him to actually execute at a high level.
I actually like the idea of Caden Stearns at nickel, Rod, because it takes me back to Michael Huff and what he was able to do as a guy who was primarily the safety, but he could really play any position in that secondary. And he did at times, too, depending on what the matchup was.
Yes,
Caden Stearns has those sorts of abilities. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, you know, you want to put the best guys out there against Gary Payton. You want to have as few, weak links for him to exploit as possible. And P.J. Locke at safety, you can almost protect him a little bit more at safety,
true,
right? And some people would argue that he's probably more of a natural fit there at safety. He's experienced, so he's got, you know, he can make all the checks and the calls and the communication. He can handle all that. And you have him and Brandon Jones. And, yeah, maybe Caden Stearns is at peace now with, you know, B.J. Foster out just for the early part of that game, that maybe you move him around to, you know, that nickel position, so it's not Josh Thompson. Josh Thompson looks great, by the way. I love it. He's got a body like I used to have back then. He's got the six pack. He looks the part.
He can fly.
But right now, I still think he hasn't had enough reps to get comfortable in that role. And hell, you could argue that's the most valuable position in the Big 12 is that nickel position. So I'm with you. I think, yeah, maybe move Caden Stearns around. You know, potentially move him to that joker or that nickel position and try to, you know, hide some of your vulnerabilities until you can get B.J. Foster back for the second half.
Is there anything that you watched from this Texas offense on Saturday and the successes that they had versus a USC team that's had a hard time stopping the run this year? Sam had a fair amount of success through the air, especially throwing to his bigger receivers. Colin Johnson had a great first half. L.J. Humphrey had a great game overall. Is there anything you saw working last Saturday that you think they're not going to have as easy a time on versus TCU this coming Saturday?
That's a really good question. I think they won't have any success getting to the edges. I brought this up earlier. TCU is too fast. Even Ohio State remarked that that's one of the fastest teams they've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State probably sees some of the fastest players in the country in practice alone. So I don't know if you're going to get to the edges. I think, remember they lost the defensive tackle for them, Blacklock?
Yep.
Say that name slow. they lost him early on. I think where TCU is vulnerable, because they wanted to get in a track meet, they want to race. Gary Patterson has always emphasized speed, even to the point where he'll bring in a running back and turn him into a linebacker or a DN, right? Because he likes speed on the field. His defenses are notoriously, infamously undersized. I think you got to break out Bam Bam Sam. I think you need to go right at TCU, in between the tackles. This offensive line is much improved. And where's the strength of the Texas offensive line, which is much improved? It seems to be in the interior, right? It's Vahe, and now without Shaq, even Elijah Rodriguez is playing really well. And now you got Kerstetter inside. I think you want to go at TCU. I think you want to pound the rock at TCU. Bam Bam Sam can run in between the tackles. You might not have Keyonte Ingram, so if you can't attack the edges, he's the guy you want to attack the edges with, because he's the guy that can change the game, all right, with one burst, all right? Breaking one tackle. So with Daniel Young, you can run downhill. I like to change of pace with a guy like Trey Watson, but I don't think you're going to get to the edges on TCU, Trey. I think you got to run at him. And Bam Bam Sam he's a load to take down for anybody. My man CB sent me this tweet because I was ranting about how Bam Bam Sam is going to be the difference in the game, and they got to use him. And Chuck Carlton of Dallas Morning News tweeted out, Gary Patterson describes Texas QB Sam Ehlinger as the, quote, X factor in their offense, says he's a running back playing quarterback. You damn right.
People are taking that as a slight on Twitter, which I think is hilarious. That's not a slight. He is complimenting just how good Sam Ehlinger is at running the football.
That's exactly right. And I think for Texas, you know, and I remarked on this earlier, this is how you get Sam in the groove, man. Sam is a great athlete who is a really good football player that you're trying to turn into an elite level championship quarterback. But he's still got those natural instincts where he wants to run, and that's why they gotta bring in trick plays where they throw him the ball and he's a receiver. And he's really good at those plays. And they have to run him more. And that's why when he runs for at least 45 yards in a game as a starter, that I think Texas, he's 3-1 as a starter, and I think he's 1-4 when he doesn't rush for at least 35 yards. By the way, that one win was this past weekend because they only rushed for 35 yards. But if you include the 11-yard pass reception, he's got 45 yards from scrimmage, or 46 yards from scrimmage or whatever, that really weren't part of him being a natural quarterback. So I think that's how he gets in the groove. Also, I think it keeps you ahead of the chains. My man Jeff Howe gave me a great stat. I want to make sure I get it. Texas averaged 4.4 yards per play on the first downs versus USC.
That is huge.
Huge!
To put yourself into a second down situation where you could very easily throw or run, it keeps the defense off balance.
And you know why that's big? Because when you get in second and medium and third and medium, or second and short and third and short, Sam as a runner is still a threat. I still have to account for it. And yes, I can throw the ball. I can still throw a screen or a slant, or I can drop back past it, or we can even run it. Texas can run it. Texas got four first downs on running the ball on third down in that game versus USC because they were in third and short, third and medium. And I think when you have the threat of Sam as a runner, the threat of Sam as a passer, the threat that Texas could run the ball because it's third and four or less, and the threat they could throw the ball, it leaves your playbook wide open and you're less predictable. And against a guy like Gary Patterson, you need to take as many chances as possible, at least remove the tendencies, because he can predict almost anything because, as Tom Herman said, he's scouting his eyeballs off.
Said, Rod. And hey, looky here.
Looky's
in the studio now. Chad Hastings back from Total Men's. Unfortunately, the power lines that went down on B Caves west of 360 have screwed everything up around here today. The office is empty because we don't have phone lines. We don't have an internet connection, so most people in 2018 can't do their jobs. Fortunately, radio can still do its job. It's just more off the top of your head, Chad.
So the only thing we have is just the mics headed out of the building. That's it?
Pretty much.
Okay, so just a quick question from a personal standpoint. You're going to know why I'm asking. Any chance we're able to either make or accept phone calls by the end of the show?
By the end of the show, maybe. They're saying that the earliest that all of this is going to come back is about 6 o'clock.
Ooh. Oh, no. Okay.
Well, you guys are having a special guest today.
As luck would have it, of course.
Today's, right.
Today's the day Roger Clemens is calling
us.
Yeah,
I remember that from yesterday.
So I got to let it. I was just talking to Roger's guy coming in, and I was like, hey, here's the situation. Just want you to know. I was like, please have plan on him calling, but now I'm going to have to let him know. Yeah, we may need to reschedule. Hopefully we can. He's trying to promote the celebrity softball game for Texas OU weekend. So it's something coming up in October. It sounds like a really cool deal, and we'll definitely tell people how to get tickets today. But that part sucks. So yeah, what's up, guys?
How are you? Everything's good. Oh, as a matter of fact, speaking of Texas baseball, my man Dylan Fry told me they apparently have announced they're breaking ground on a new indoor baseball facility for Texas baseball.
Really? That Roger helped with, I think,
that,
right?
Of course he did.
that big donation that he gave?
Hey, no doubt.
I think that goes directly to that.
Yeah,
Texas and TCU coming up.
That's right, brother.
On Saturday.
Mm-hmm, beautiful thing. Purple Kryptonite. Well, the first of the Purple Kryptonites.
Yeah, this is interesting that they're back-to-back because there's
different... They've never been back-to-back, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think I ever remember it.
There's different issues with these teams. I went back and watched all of TCU and Ohio State, and I've watched Texas and USC again. This is it's a tough matchup for Texas. It really is. And TCU is a tough matchup for just about anybody in America.
Agreed.
This year. Because of the Rodney Anderson injury, I'm wondering how they'll match up with Oklahoma. Like Oklahoma at absolute full power, what would they have been like against TCU? Obviously we won't know that this year, but it's going to be tough. And when you look back at these games, last 3 years, Texas hasn't scored 10. They haven't scored double digits last 3 years, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we call the matchup of the Texas offense versus a Gary Patterson coach defense.
Right.
If you're going to truly make strides in terms of figuring out your offensive identity, you got to be able to do it against a Gary Patterson coach defense at one point.
But you guys were talking about Sam Ellinger, and I think it's an interesting – I mean, it's such a big key. I look back at the quarterbacks that have played in this game since the Big 12 started – not since the Big 12 started, since TCU's
coming to the Big 12.
Got in the Big 12. They've won 5 out of 6. Texas has played – it was Case and Ash the first game, then Case, then Swoops and Hurd, and then Shane the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Combined, those quarterbacks have thrown 4 touchdowns and 10 picks.
That's a nice stat right there.
So they have not had good quarterback play. Yeah. Plus, they are getting worked in the running game. Last 2 years, Anderson had 99 yards last year. He had 103 2 years ago. In 2015, TCU had 228 on the ground against Texas. In 13, now the year that Texas won, Jonathan Gray had a decent game.
Jay Gray,
94 yards rushing, and Texas outrushed TCU.
Yep.
In 12 and 13, though, they got outrushed 217 to 86. And, in 217 to 86 in 2014, Tyrone Swoops threw 4 picks. So they have not had good quarterback play, and they have been outrushed sometimes by a big margin. They've got to run the ball, and to me, both of those things speak right to Sam. Because, I'm not asking him for 100 yards.
No, no.
But he's got to give them quality moments, quality yards, quality move-the-sticks kind of runs. Mm-hmm. Give me 7 when I need 5.
Yep.
You know, give me 3 if I need 1.
Yep. Scramble for a first down when everything's covered up.
What was the play out to the left side against USC? Was that a 4th and 2? 4th and 1?
Oh, yeah, like the quarterback sweep kind of thing.
Porter comes in to block and all that. That's going to be a big key in this game. Sam Ellinger is going to have to be impactful. Texas has yet to have an impactful quarterback against TCU in the Big 12.
I think that's
it just hadn't happened yet.
Very astute observation by you, brother. No question. You're round the money with that one.
Because I started thinking about this game, and it's like, wait a minute, 50-7, and go back and I look at that game. It's like, yeah, just didn't have good quarterback
Texas
play.
Texas had no quarterback they can
at
trust.
All. Now, there's a lot.
And Kerry Patterson can, if he can exploit a good quarterback, imagine what he can do with an average one.
Exactly.
Or to an average one.
Yeah.
I should say.
And there's obviously, there's a lot to it. It takes a lot to beat a Gary Patterson team. I'm not saying that's the only thing. The other thing Texas is going to have to do. Obviously, their defense has not been good against TCU, and maybe they get hung out to dry by a bad offense. I understand that. But I think scoring first is going to be really important. People always talk about scoring first being important in big road games. Mm-hmm. I think it's critical in big home games. I think it's huge to get
energy
to make your crowd believe early. When they walk in, deep down in their soul, knowing that they may not win, you give them something early and go, oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think about Texas beating Nebraska here back in the 90s. I think about my Aggies beating Nebraska in 98 over a College Station. Mm-hmm. Early touchdown. 7-0.
I agree with that.
Was something the fans didn't necessarily think they would see. And once they saw it, this energy showed up. And it's like, oh, here we go. Let's go. And I think Texas, I'd have to go back and see if they scored first against Nebraska in the Big 12 title game. But I feel like those two big wins Texas had against Nebraska, I felt like they got on them early.
Yeah.
Especially the one at home. Make the fans believe you can do it.
Especially when you're looking for an upset, like a huge upset, which
right.
this would be.
And this would be, yeah.
This would be,
I mean, TCU is obviously really, really good. All right, that's Rod Babers, and I'm Chad Hastings, and Kevin Dunn is on his way. By the way, Kevin got even more messed up by this situation than I did because he figured, hey, we're going to be out there in Hutto, so I'll go see Mom and Taylor.
Ooh.
So he goes to see Mom and Taylor, and when I called Kevin, he was actually behind me. I figured he was closer to here, and I could get him to turn around. No, he was actually behind me.
He's probably taken like 3 or 4 back routes through Westlake neighborhoods that he would get him here a little bit quicker.
So hopefully he'll be here very quickly. But Rod's going to be hanging out because we talk with Rod every day, 3:30 and 4:30, our Longhorn Insider segment. That is coming up. Also, we'll get you the big three, including Texas getting ready for TCU, of course, and more on all kinds of stuff. We'll keep you up to date throughout the day on that grand opening out at Total Men's Primary Care in Hutto. Nothing on their end today. It was just craziness out here in B Caves, which somehow created a situation where we couldn't do the broadcast. I don't even fully understand.
A truck knocked down some power lines.
The power lines?
Like last night or early this morning, and basically it shut down all of B Caves at that point, right over there by like St. Stephen's or whatever.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, so people basically, so that's what made traffic so bad this morning, and nobody could get around, log jam the entire damn city.
Okay.
Still recovering from it.
Crazy stuff. So we'll get you more on them. Also, let me tell you about sinus and snoring specialists. I've told you about Dr. Slaughter many, many times. Over 20 years of experience offering the very latest in ear, nose, and throat technology. The most advanced treatments, the most unique treatments. One of our listeners texted me earlier in the week that they were having a procedure done this week, and they were a little nervous about it. Hey, Chad, tell me it's not a lot of recovery time. Tell me there's not a whole lot of bleeding. And I was able to tell them exactly that. There's not a lot of recovery time, and there wasn't a lot of bleeding. I did the show that day after having the procedure done that morning. For me, it was the balloon sinuplasty procedure. Plus, I went to the allergy center, got the allergy drops. They tested me, find out what I'm ultimately allergic to, and they're helping me get rid of my allergies for good. It is possible to live in the Austin area without these crazy allergies. So if you've got those wild allergies, if you've got sinus headaches, or if you're just keeping you and everybody else up with snoring, check them out. Call and set up an appointment today, 512-601-0303, or go to sinussnoringent.com. Sinus and snoring specialists feel clear, rested, and healthy. So apparently there's no internet in the building. So coming up, we'll get you a big three from my head. Three things going on in my life coming up on the Horn.
The Big Three.
This segment brought to you by The Yellow Rose.
Austin's best seat in the city to watch the game. 17 big screens, 3 huge theater screens, and the hottest sideline action in Texas. Only at The Yellow Rose.
Kids, gather around. Let's talk about how radio was back when I was young. There was no music. There was no phones. They didn't have internet. You just rambled and rambled and prayed somebody was out there listening.
Radio nowhere.
That's basically what today is. Today is radio stripped down to its core, stripped to its foundation.
Caveman, baby.
We have no way to know. We have no way to communicate with any of you good people, other than, I guess, if you honked really loud out here on 360.
Pretty much, we could hear that, man.
And we could hear you. Mm-hmm. All we can get out of this building right now is microphone sound, is the sound of our voices. And I guess if we sang or like did a barbershop quartet or something, we could get songs out that way.
Might be worth it.
Trey doesn't have access to music.
We can bebop.
We can't call
B-box.
Call anyone or have them call us. So I got to let Roger Clemens people. I have to say no to Roger Clemens. You understand that?
Ooh, that's pretty. That actually gives you a lot of street cred. You're turning. You're actually. Yeah.
I have to say no to the
Rocket.
You have
to reject Roger Clemens.
Right.
It's pretty damn good. How often has that happened to Roger Clemens?
I guess.
They get rejected very often.
Now I know a little bit of what it feels like. Keith Moreland used to tell me the story of the first time he homered off Roger. Now I don't know what that feels like.
Yeah, you rejected Roger Clemens.
Right.
It's like, that didn't happen very often.
Yeah, so we got all that going on. Now, Trey, are you able to play, like, if we have a sounder for something like the Big Three, are you able to play that?
I think he can.
Just did.
Yeah. You did? Okay,
he did play
so
the Big
you
Three.
Play that?
Yeah.
Are we done with it and we don't play it again?
Yeah, we're done with it.
Okay. So I can just
try to figure out how to get the Craig Way report into the system right now.
Oh, that's going to be a challenge.
That's
going to be a hell of a challenge.
Well, I'll check with you on that in a few minutes. All right, so your Big Three today is basically some football with a little baseball mixed in. The Cowboys apparently have re-signed Bryce Butler.
That's right.
So run in fear, defensive backs across the NFL. Bryce Butler is back. Cowboys getting ready to go to Seattle. If you watched Seattle and the Bears last night, you saw that the Seahawks are a gettable team.
Man.
I think we knew that going into last night. It's still tough, Rod, going to Seattle, but the Cowboys can go get that thing. If they play the right ball game, they can beat Seattle there.
I think if they play a game similar to what they played against the Giants, they can beat Seattle. This Seattle team is just a shell of its former self.
God,
not only the Legion of Boom, but every aspect of it.
They got Russell Wilson
just running for his life. He was sacked 6 times. I believe.
Now, let's be fair. This Bears
Chicago defense.
This Bears defense appears special.
Do you want to know? Oh, I'll give you, how about this? Khalil Mack's numbers versus John Gruden's entire defense. This is fun. You want to hear this real quick?
Sure.
Khalil Mack's got 2 sacks. John Gruden's defense has got 2 sacks. Khalil Mack's got 2 forced fumbles. John Gruden's defense has got 1 forced fumble. he's got as many interceptions and more touchdowns, than John Gruden's defense.
That's awesome.
There you go.
That is awesome.
And he traded that guy.
Cowboys getting ready to go to Seattle. The Giants will be going to Houston for what could be one of the sloppiest football games anybody's ever seen if these two teams keep playing this way.
Yeah.
Here's one thing I know, Rod. I don't know if Clowney's playing, but if J.J. Watt and that defensive line for the Texans can't get home against that offensive line, they've got huge problems.
I agree with that.
The Texans should be able to win that game 7-3 if they need
to. They should have been able to beat the Tennessee Titans without their starting quarterback, their starting left tackle, their starting right tackle, and without their starting tight end.
And they should have covered Gunners on the punt.
They should have covered Gunners on the punt.
That's a whole other thing.
Come on.
Chicago beat Seattle last night 24-17. A lot of college football. Obviously, we're getting into Texas TCU. Also this week, you have a game where I guarantee you 7 points will not win it. Texas Tech at Oklahoma State is this week. It's always a crazy one.
That's sexy.
Kansas State goes to West Virginia. That one could be something. Stanford is at Oregon. Can the Ducks get anything, put anything up against Stanford? And then, of course, A&M is at Alabama this weekend.
Ooh.
And if you're an Astros fan,
four
games is the lead after the loss last night. Seattle got them because Hector Rondon gave up a grand slam in the 8th.
Damn you, Hector.
They lost it 4-1. So a 4-game lead for the Astros as they go in tonight. So there's the Big Three. And since our Longhorn, the Longhorn Insider we can bring you, because he's right here. He's right next to me. Rod Babers is sitting in the room with me.
So that guy.
We can bring you that with our technological challenges today. Is there anything you are still cleaning up from the USC game? Are there any thoughts that you're still cleaning up from USC, or have you moved on to the TCU matchup?
I have moved on, but my man Jeff Howe gave me some great stats. We did our Longhorn Blitz podcast today, which will be airing on the Horn at 7 p.m. My man Jeff Howe, Horns 24/7, and my man Matt Butler at Longhorn Blitz.
I enjoy that, by the way.
Yeah, it's real fun. And Matt does a great job with the stats. He does stats for LHN and at times too, and ESPN. So he's a great stat guy, and my man Jeff Howe, of course, with Horns 24/7.
Before you get to the stat, you are a guy who has been accused a time or two of speaking maybe fast, a little quickly.
I talk fast and I run fast. I made careers out of them both.
When Jeff Howe does his intro of you for the Longhorn Blitz podcast, Do you guys get him oxygen? Does he take a break and you edit in the middle?
It's very impressive.
It is incredibly impressive.
I agree with you on that. He almost sounds like the Micro Machines guy. Remember the Micro Machines guy?
Yes. Right.
I'm with you. And it's a great intro, by the way.
It's a great intro.
Yeah, I want him to actually introduce me maybe at my wedding. Like, that's a great intro.
I fear for his lungs and his life at that point. Like, is he going to pass out?
You know what? I haven't looked at him while he's doing it, but I'm sure he's gasping for air probably at the end of it.
So make sure you're there right at 7 o'clock tonight on the Longhorn Blitz podcast, or go back and listen to it later on the podcast and check out that intro that Jeff does. And the whole show is great. The breakdown is awesome. But the intro is fantastic.
Yeah.
So the stats that he gave you from USC?
Well, he just gave me the fact that the stat that on first down, Texas was averaging 4.4 yards per play against USC.
Mm.
Actually, had four first downs, or at least they ran for four first downs on third down. And that was incredible to me. That means that they were in third and manageable a lot.
Yep.
He actually gave another great stat, too, that on third and nine plus, third and nine or more, Texas was 2 of 7 versus USC. On third and four or less, they were 4 of 5 in converting third downs. So when Texas is in a third and manageable, third and reasonable, it's easy money for them. Third and four or third and five, and they were 4 of 5 on those types of plays. On third and nine plus, when it's third and really, really long, I think it negates the effectiveness, or it negates the threat of Sam Ellinger as a dual threat quarterback,
right,
and then making Texas therefore more predictable on offense. So I think that's why it's pivotal. They win first down so they can win third down.
Yeah,
that's what's really the key.
Right, because in those, it's the difference between Sam's feet getting your punter a better situation or Sam's feet getting you a first down.
That's exactly right.
Right, and yeah, so and you're right. Now that I think back on it, there was even a little stretch where it felt like they went first down, first down, first down. Three straight plays. They were just moving the sticks and converting, and it's obviously, if you don't even have to worry about third downs for converting,
That's even better.
If you never even get to the down.
Yeah.
But that is going to be critical. I talked about just starting the game well, but that's it too. It's in maybe.
Which they did in that game. Well,
and they did it.
They did. Remember that opening drive where they only get a field goal.
Right.
There are three explosive plays on that drive. They get two chunk yardage plays with Colin Johnson, one of the play action. I mean, they went down. And then Andrew Beck, I think, is another explosive play on that drive.
And, of course, the defense helped out to start that, right? No, that was
no,
I'm sorry.
No, not yet. Not in the first quarter.
I'm thinking back to the Tulsa game. Because right,
USC scores first, and then Texas answers. It's a field goal.
You're right.
It was a big offensive drive to come out, because I love the fact that they came out early on. They used Sam in the running game, but they used play action, and they went deep. They tested that USC secondary early and often.
As much as people are going to talk in this game about, clearly you want to look at, you know, Tom Herman's strength against Gary Patterson's strength.
Yes.
That's what everybody's going to talk about.
Yeah.
This game for me is about when TCU has the football. This game is about TCU with the ball. Mm-hmm. Because if this Texas defense gives up stuff early, they're done. They're done. If they get down 14-3, they're not chasing down 11 against TCU. They have to get up early.
Yeah.
They have to hit them in the face. And I've heard the discussion already. Tom Herman said it. I heard you talk about it a little bit. Herman mentioned it yesterday at the press conference. You got to go right at TCU.
You do, man.
You can't hit edges on TCU.
Mm-mm.
This is like, and I'm going to give him a huge compliment here, but when I was growing up, this is like one of those defenses like a Miami, a Florida State, Oklahoma when they were really good.
Yep.
Texas, anybody you want to talk about, you just couldn't go to the edges. If you were going to get them, you have to stand up and go get them.
And punch them in the mouth.
You have to, right.
Right
to,
at them.
You have to punch them in the face. I'll go back to last weekend's fight. You have to do what Canelo Alvarez did that ultimately won him that championship. You have to say, I'm going to stand right here and I'm going to fight. You might knock me out.
Mm-hmm.
You might knock me down.
Yeah.
But I can't move. If I go backwards, I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm going to plant my foot. And here we go.
Yeah.
That's what Texas has to plant that front foot, draw that line, and say, we may go, you may beat us, but you're going to beat us with us leaning forward.
Yeah, and that's why I think you're going to need, you almost have to unleash Bam Bam Sam on them.
I've heard you say that, and that's
it. You know, and it's risky. Because Bam Bam Sam, remember, we saw Bam Bam Sam against Oklahoma. He could keep you in the game with one of the top five teams in the country, but he also can end up making a play that ends up hurting himself in the end because he's being that physical and he's trying to impose his will. But unless you have that element, and I'm talking about him playing with that kind of physicality, I don't know if you're going to gain an edge on TCU in a running game. You're going to need him without Keontae Ingram.
Right.
Let me say that. When they get Keontae Ingram back, that's a different discussion.
There's plenty of people screaming at their TVs nowadays. nowadays. It's football when it comes to all these defensive penalties that they don't like. Sam Ehlinger is listed at 6'3", 230. We don't have all our technology today, but I have my depth chart in front of me. He is 6'3", 230. Yeah. I understand that he had multiple injuries in his senior year at Westlake, and I understand that there's this worry among Longhorn fans.
Yep.
But that night, what he did to that Kansas State football player was awesome.
Yeah, epic.
And after it was over, Sam didn't look like he was in a lot of pain. No. He didn't look like he'd taken a shot. He looked like he had delivered a shot.
Yeah.
6'3", 230. Just keep saying that to yourself. I'm not saying run him all the time and get him hurt, but it's football. And at some point, go watch college football. It's not like everybody else is thinking,
you know, we really should protect our quarterback. It's dangerous out there. It's crazy out there.
Alabama will occasionally run Tua. LSU is running Joe Burrow. I rewatched that game last night. He had 10 carries for 22 yards, which is nothing. It's a speck on the stat sheet. But you go watch the game.
They're running.
He had important moments where he was running the ball to keep them honest, to make play action work. If LSU is running Joe Burrow and they're not freaking out, Texas can run Sam Ehlinger and not freak out. 6'3", 230, and he's a bulldog, and he's an energy source for your team.
Yeah, I mean, Gary Patterson basically said he's a running back playing quarterback.
Now, do you take that as some insult?
No. I don't think that's an insult at all. I think, like I said, he's a great athlete who's a really good football player who's they're trying to turn into a championship-level quarterback. Okay. Tim Tebow was a running back playing quarterback.
Because I saw a comment today, Chuck Carlton puts it out there, and I think it was Anwar Richardson from Orange Bloods retweets, and he put, oh, shots fired, and I thought, shots fired?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It didn't feel like an insult to me.
It's an observation. And I think it's an actually astute, valid observation. So I'm with you on that. And I think that's going to be a big element. He's built like a Kardashian. I mean, he's built like a centaur. I mean, this guy, you know what I mean?
Have you seen how thick his neck is?
Everything about this young man is thick. You know what I mean?
Sam Ehlinger is
thick with it.
Dude ain't blowing over in
exactly.
the wind.
He could be a middle linebacker for Iowa State. And he would, to me, I could still see him playing that. But I think that's how Texas gains an edge. He has to deliver that blow of physicality. And you know what? What is the insurance policy? You have probably the most experienced backup in the country. And Shane Bouchel.
Yeah,
so it's worth rolling the dice, even if you have to put him in harm's way.
If you're going in a football game thinking about your backup quarterback, you're just starting at the wrong spot.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, I mean,
you're coaching scared then.
Go in, do what you do, and I think his feet are definitely a part of it.
Yeah.
That is Rod Babers. We talk to him every day at 3:30 and 4:30, our Longhorn Insider, as we get ready for Texas and TCU. Coming up, I'll get you a little crap bag. Oh, my Aggies are throwing back this year with some uniforms to pay tribute to the last championship team. No, not that far back. The last conference championship team. I'll tell you about them and where you can see them coming right up. But Trey is able to fire up the Craig Way Sports Report. I lost my string yesterday because they all distract me on Mondays. Let's get it started here. This is number one.
This doesn't count. I just reminded you.
Oh, okay, fine. This doesn't count. It's a freebie then. I'll try to start one later. Craig Way.
This week, the final week on the calendar that is officially classified as summer, not only brings together the end of summer and the start of autumn, it also provides a convergence of sorts in sports. The NFL is now 2 weeks into its brand new season. College football has completed its third full week of action. That means that the collegiate game is at the one-quarter pole of the regular season. Major League Baseball, meanwhile, has 11 days remaining in its regular season. And while the playoff spots are pretty much spoken for in the American League, home field for the wild card playoff is still up for grabs, and the National League has very little decided. It appears as though the Cubs and Braves will win the Central and East Division titles respectively, but they're not yet locked up, and the West is a crapshoot, with the Dodgers and Rockies in the midst of a critical three-game series in Los Angeles, with the Dodgers up by one half game going into tonight's second game of the series. Both wildcard spots are still in play, with the Brewers, Cardinals, Phillies, and Diamondbacks all in the hunt for the postseason as well. Add to all of this, exhibition play is underway in the National Hockey League. You did notice that, didn't you? And NBA preseason play is on the cusp of beginning, and you can see the convergence in order. And the true sports fan will simply drink it all in. Coming up tomorrow morning, we'll hear from TCU head football coach Gary Patterson. That's in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Yes, truly a crap bag today. Kevin's on his way. We've had technological stuff going on today. Basically, it is caveman radio today. We can get our voices out, but you can't communicate with us. We can't communicate with you. No phones, no internet, no nothing, but we will get you a crap bag nonetheless. If you have access to the internet, you can go to my Twitter page, at chastings1049. I retweeted it earlier. So if you listen, you know I'm an Aggie. And me growing up when I did, born in 1974, when I think of A&M and their football uniforms, I think of a maroon helmet with a big old ATM, sometimes the T is really big, and a white face mask. But ever since Justin Tucker hit that kick that night in College Station, they haven't worn a white face mask. The very next year, A&M goes into the SEC, and they became an Adidas school. And from that moment, there was like this thing where somebody showed Kevin Sumlin a mock-up for an old, hey, coach, this is going to be our throwback uniform. And Kevin Sumlin said, no, that's our normal uniform. And that was maroon helmet, gray face mask. So that's kind of been the normal. And as you know, my Aggies change uniforms all the time. But it may calm down a little bit with Jimbo Fisher. So I see last night that the Aggies have figured out what they're going to do for their, you know, one strange game a year where they come up with some crazy uniform. What they're going to do is they're going to pay tribute to the 1998 Big 12 championship team, and they're going to wear the white face mask. They're going to enlarge the ATM, and they're going to do all kinds of technology on the jerseys and stuff. An extra cool part of this is they're going to make the numerals and the words on the jerseys look like the 90s style with the mesh, like the little, you know, holes in the in the numbers.
I thought you were going to say it was going to look like the script from Saved by the Bell or something.
No. It's going to look like it's got the holes in it, like back in the 90s.
That's pretty cool.
It looks really sharp. I saw and again, you can go to my Twitter page and see it. Sometimes Adidas misses on uniforms for me. They're usually pretty good with the helmets, but the uniforms can get weird. I think these are going to be cool. And it will definitely remind me of, you know, growing up watching this team. But I wondered if they were ever going to wear them again. And now they're going to at least bring it back for one time. So they're gonna pay tribute. I guess they're going to have team members there from the 98 team, the one that upset.
The Big 12 title.
That upset K-State in the title game. Texas lost the.
Is that Corey Pulig?
No, it would have been Brandon Stewart at quarterback.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Big 12 title.
Sir Parker catches the touchdown to win the game.
Yeah.
It would have been right after Ricky breaks the record here. And that game was way closer than it should have been. I figured Texas was going to win that thing by a lot. But Texas was a little sloppy that day, if people remember. Ricky had a little bit of sloppiness himself, but he made up for it and basically won the game by himself. So they win that game, and then the Aggies, I guess whatever the records were at that time, A&M did ultimately win the South, go into that game. And K-State was like one in the country.
Was that a Michael Bishop K-State team?
Correct. That's the Michael Bishop. K-State, a lot of Aggies didn't think they could do it. Dave South definitely didn't. One of the worst calls he's ever had, and I'd tell him to his face, it's a disgraceful call, and the fact that he gets credit for the call at the end on Sir Parker is just not fair, because he was awful the whole night. Didn't believe for a second the Aggies could win that game until they did. It was terrible.
You know, A&M has had some hits and misses in terms of the alternate uniforms. Of course, the glow-in-the-dark uniform from a couple years ago where the SEC did them no favors by scheduling terrible. The day in the game in the daytime.
Yep.
That wasn't good. This sounds like a good throwback uniform, though.
Yeah, I've liked that. And when the Aggies have gone to throwbacks, it's worked out pretty well for them. Like, they did a tribute to the 1939 championship team when Kyle Allen was quarterback, and they did like purposely, like they rusted up the screws and stuff like that. Like, they went to some good detail. And then they did a throwback to John David Crow's era, but they didn't put numbers on the side of the helmet.
The leather helmets?
They did a blank helmet. No, the leather one was 1939.
Okay.
So that was a decent look. Yeah, this one I think has a chance to look good, mainly because it'll just remind everybody of, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
I have a question for you guys. I think it'll be apropos for the crap bag after you tell the people about Diamonds Direct, Chad.
Yes, sir. Diamonds Direct has one of my favorite things in the world going on right now. Not only the great prices you already get, the amazing low prices that I tell you about all the time, but how about spreading your payments out over 5 years with zero interest. It's huge. You can afford anything with 5 years, zero interest. Yes, I said it's huge. It's a great time to upgrade her diamond. You can get the designer engagement ring. You can surprise her with a diamond eternity band or whatever you like. $4,000 pair of diamond earrings, $67 a month. $15,000 designer engagement ring with a big sparkling diamond that will take her breath away, just $250 a month. You can even finance the entire purchase price, even the tax. It's a limited time offer, won't be extended, so you need to act now. Also, I've told you, this Friday and Saturday, they're taking it up a notch with a huge trunk show featuring the famous bridal designer, Michael M. So get that piece of jewelry she's always wanted. 5 years, zero interest, zero down on any purchase. It is incredible, but only through the month of September and only at Diamonds Direct. They're right there in the Domain beside Dick's Sporting Goods on approved credit. Details at DiamondsDirect.com. All right, Trey, give me a crap baggy question.
Every so often on the midday show, we will fire up a segment called Brad Kellner's Parental Advice of the Week, where I essentially ask Brad questions based on situations I encounter as somebody who's only been a parent for the last 4 years now. Mm-hmm. Another one came up today.
Okay.
So my daughter Vivian turned 4 on Sunday. Happy birthday, Viv, if you're actually in the car with mom right now listening. But the question that I have is that I'm still to the point as a parent where I'm watching both kids and say I need to shower or something. They will hang out in mom and dad's bedroom while I'm in the shower, and sometimes they'll be in the bathroom when I'm getting in or out of the shower. At 4, is she at the age now where I need to be more cognizant about being naked around her? If wow. not, what is the age?
I'm the wrong person.
I'm going to say yes, and I don't have kids, so there you go.
You're gonna say this is the age he should be worried about?
I'm going to say yes, but I don't have kids.
See, I'm not the right person to ask because
<So yeah. laughs>
I am very, very sensitive to the whole bathroom thing.
That yeah. is true.
When it, I'd say, yeah.
Like, my child's 12. My child has never seen me naked. If there was a situation.
Not even when she was like 6 months old?
If she was 6 months old and I had to go to the bathroom and we were the only two people in the house, she hung out on like the bed when she was 6 months old and I went to the bathroom.
And what about when she's walking around and you're having to shower or something while still keeping an eye on her?
Baby cage. No, I don't remember.
Baby cage.
I don't remember the exact circumstance, but it was either I wouldn't. I wouldn't shower, or I would just figure out a way to do it. So I'm probably I'm the wrong person to ask. But at 4, I would say, if you haven't been concerned about it before, maybe this would be the time to start, because she's getting into that time now where
they start to remember things.
Remember, that's the key. It's memory. I've told you guys, like, Kevin gets on me about, well, why do you sleep with a shirt on? Because I have too many memories of my dad without a shirt, and none of them are good. None of them. None of them have helped me out in life. He does not look good without a shirt on. Neither do I.
Not even like a swimming pool situation where y'all had a lot of fun in the swimming pool. Maybe he was going sans shirt in the swimming pool.
Oh, we had fun with the swimming pool. I just was focused on something other than, you know, his torso. Focus on the eyes. Focus on the smile. Maybe
That's
something
fair.
Like that. Yeah, I think probably you should maybe be a little concerned about that.
But I don't have any kids, so I can't. Yeah. I really have no say in this.
Yeah, that's
kids.
Just not right. I was very, but I'm also the guy that I've been married over 15 years, and my wife and I do not use the bathroom in each other's presence. And
that is
stuff.
Weird because I've heard that, and I'm just a guy who's been in a lot of relationships. Yeah, women will go to the bathroom in front of me all the time, and vice versa.
I can't do that. And here's the other one before we hit this break.
It's true intimacy.
The other day, my kid said something to my wife about me, and it was like I felt like it was father of the year moment, right? Father of the decade. Here it was. She's talking and she said, you know what? I'm 12 years old and I've heard daddy belch hundreds, maybe thousands of times, but I've never heard daddy fart one time. And I thought, man,
wow.
I've achieved my goal.
Classy.
I have achieved my goal.
Keeping it classy at the house, baby.
Yes, I thought that was pretty good. Now, the rest of it, I just let her run in traffic. So I might not be a good dad there, but I think I'm good on that front. All right, 4 o'clock hour coming up. We'll talk to Rod Babers, the Longhorn Insider, coming up at 4:30. Kevin Dunn is in the studio. It is old school radio from the cave today. No technology. We just have to tell you what we know. Imagine that. This is The Horn.